Things up, okay? Sapic test, same Sapic test. Sipe, never do Sipe, help you sip up. Okay, starting with Sipe. Aim the back limb is the Khatila. Not allowed to take something else and put it into a taroga to make it butter. A chathila, you can't do this in the first place. Okay? Look at the Rashach, the right side, O Zayin, Emuvat and Mr. Chathila, Kosef Rajba. Torah by itself, by its dad, by Shachimah, by Ram, Perigid, and Moshe, and the Rabban. The task, because this is Sir, and this is Rabban. Rabban didn't want people to manipulate the Arobas and to make things bottle, so the Rabban created a Nisr to do that, to mix something else. Sir, now that you can mix it in and say 60 to 1, be bottle. Now how to do that. Avam the Das arrived with us from the device. The derived claims that this is missed from the Torah to do this. Me b'di'evet, okay, then we'll see what happens if he did it, what happens b'di'evet. Then that's Machlokes, derived, the Rajba and derived. The Rajba holds that this is a Nisr the Rabbanon, and the Rajba holds it's a Nisr the device.
Meaning, as saying this is the Rabbanon, meaning.
If you did that, you're violating an issue to Rabbanon.
It's interesting.
Okay. It's part of the device.
Okay. So I guess like the writer would be saying that it's straight out trick.
No, the writer doesn't stop. That the Shach says that even according to the writer, b'di'evet, it's mut. If you did it, it becomes mut.
No, b'di'evet.
If you did it, according to the Rabban, it's a nisit from the Torah to do that. But what happens once you did it?
And b'di'evet, it's okay.
Hey, we'll soon see. We'll soon see. We have to see Rabbi Kivega. Look at the Rabbi Kivega. Okay, you have a goes Rabbi Kivega. He'll tell you the difference between the Rambam and the Rabban. Let's see the Rabbi Kivega. Awesome the Raisa. Okay, read the Rabbi Kivega.
Where is it?
Right below the Bir Hagro.
How could you say Rabban?
There's something called Hagros Rabbi Kivega. You see that? Hagros.
If you
get
the Chidushes, Rabbi Kivega.
Haga'od Rebbe Kivega, yeah. And I have in my Shemal Haga'od Rebbe Kivega. Who says Chidushay? And it goes on,
it's
also with the right. It's going, he says there's a Shach, Sivkot and Zayin. He's talking about this Shach. He says, when Afghamina, the difference will be between the Rajba and the right. The right Rajba says that this is a to make things bottles at the Rabbanon Isser, and the right said it's a Torah Isser. So what's the difference? In Bittel Bishogeg. Let's say the guy did it, not Bemezid, he did it Bishogeg. Raivid, the Deraisa, Kansinan Shogeg at the Mezid, the Im Mutter. Elim Kran is Bathel Berov. According to the Raivid, if a guy would do it Bishogeg, in other words, if he does it Bemezid, then for sure he cannot use it. If he says, I'm going to make something bottled, amazing, he knows that it's usher, and he's making it bottled. So then, for sure, amazing is definitely going to be in this, but if he doesn't b'shogeg, as he didn't realize that he was doing this, then it'll be mutter b'di'evet. Most of our taroves happens b'shogeg, and that's why we say that. It's, if you have 60 to 1, it's mutter. Because even though a person caused it, but he didn't do it for Mason, so therefore he didn't violate this system. But he says, according to the Ravid, it'll be us even a shogeg. That's why luckily we don't pass him like this Ravid, because if we did, we'd be very deep trouble in the kitchen. Because in the kitchen, things get mixed up by people, and people are creating 60 to 1 tarovas, and it's a shogeg. So he says, according to the Ravid, since it's an Issa Deraisa, we would make a knas, shogeg atumezid, if you will. The rabbis don't want something happening, but shogeg, if there's an Issa Deraisa b'meizid.
So the Rabbi, it's
Issa Deraisa b'shogeg? The meizid is a Deraisa? Right, but the Rabbana would be b'shogeg, and there would be a knas that if it would be also to use it even b'shogeg.
But then when are you ever allowed to
use it? If it's done by a guy, maybe.
Wow.
If a Jew does it, it would be also to be the It's big chumrah. The kibeg is a tremendous chumrah.
So I guess the case of also onus, like
onus is like onus might be better than shogeg. There's a knas, he says, according to the rabbi, of shogeg, not an amazed. I mean, not a shogeg, because you shouldn't do mazed, so they would say. It is Mishogeg, he can't eat it. But according to the Rajba, he's allowed to eat it. Yes.
So when we say the tequila or Mishogeg or the mazid, things like that, if something falls into a pot of Mishogeg, but is 1 in 30, so it's not batel, can you then pile it on?
No.
So as long as the second that the act of Mivatel is the mazid or it's not allowed.
Right.
Even though it fell in with me. So I don't do the fall it's nothing to do with the falling in.
Right, you know how to create the level of bit.
Someone added water not knowing and then
so then, according to the Rashba, he was able to use that b'di'eva and eat it. But according to the Rashba, it would be us. We pass him like the Rashba. That's the Issa D'Rabbana. Fanny and this is Shogeg. Okay. Let's back to the Shulchan Aruch.
Rabbi Shogeg on a D'Rabbana on his mutter?
B'di'eva. In other words, you can use the product of the Shogeg. Usually, when but the evidence it was done, and now I want to use the plan. I want to know if I can benefit from it.
But don't we hold this whole Torah, this thing is not, not b'di'evid? Meaning, the idea that, like, I remember we heard, it's like someone says that if you don't follow bittul, then...
If it's bittul, then you have to be able to write. And then Rabbi Moshe said you have to...
He's saying that the bittul only comes into effect if it's b'shogeg. And at that point, if you don't think that it's b'vatel, then it doesn't...
Isn't the whole point that we don't view it as a
b'di'evid
thing? It's like
in different ways. You're talking about a case where there was already a complete bittul, and the guy said, "I still don't want to eat it." That's in a bit. We have to be able to.
So it's not b'di'evid to eat it. Then you should eat it. Then
right, that's bittul. Right.
The case is where something you're not allowed to specifically say, "Oh, there's 1,000 more times, I'm just going to put the..."
Just going to put some...
That's like a piece. No. If it fell in, then it's b'di'evid case, and then you're allowed to do it.
If it fell in the Shogeg, according to us, according to the Rashi, and the Shogeg. You pass on it then. Okay. Back to Shulchan Aruch. Ein mevatel mitzvah chatchila. You shouldn't create the 60 chatchila. But filo, in your case, filo enough of the toch chetzeh.
Right.
Let's say it fell into head and there's not enough to make fit. Let's say it's only 31. Ain't no seed from all of head, but you can't add more head to that than another 30. They have a bad enough. So, as long as it's not bottle, you can't add anything there to make it bottle. Now, Avo Upit Low. Let's say it happened that he did create the 60 and he created a bit low. Oh, Shariba Olo. Or he increased the amount. I don't know why he needs to mention that. Should he follow up? So in the Shogeg, that would mean the second case, it was 30 made up to 60. Whichever happened, if he did actually do this, this is called the b'di'evid case. He did it. In other words, this person created the 60 to 1.
Amazing.
So let's see. In b'shogeg, if he got to that amount, it's 60 to 1 b'shogeg, he didn't know what he was doing, but then the b'di'evid you had to eat the food. So there's no knas for being mevatel the yisur, b'shogeg. So b'shogeg, you know how to eat the food. In b'mezid, however, if he did it b'mezid, then he's not allowed to eat the food. Now, who's not allowed to eat that food if it was done b'mezid? So Shulchan Aruch says, also the mevatel atzmo in hushalo. The guy who did it, who made the vitriol, he can't benefit. He's not allowed to eat the food. He can't eat the food. The class is for him. But let's say he did it for somebody else. That guy also can't eat the food. Okay, that's the very.
Is there an in between?
Yeah, it's not on the rooftop.
I guess it's the case if you have like a dumb friend who's just like, she has to screw around and be like, hey, I'm gonna put this in. It's like, no, don't do it. He's like, do it in.
Everyone else
can. Or on a conscious application, like,
it's like a gift.
The example that German I had was, it was like sausage. And like, you, I was like, oh, I really want you to have this cheeseburger sausage or whatever. Or whatever, trafe meat sausage. Like, if you're trying to do it for somebody, then that's also also because really you're doing it for that guy.
I feel like doing it for someone is like being like, hey, bro, can you put that in for me?
I thought it was Barak's making food, and he said, oh, I have a mind to make food for
himself.
That's right. I know, but
you guys
can
have it, but we
can
have it.
You said that I specifically don't want it.
Meaning, so that's different communication later on. If you don't have kavana, you're like, I really don't want this, and the guy does it for you anyway, technically that guy can have it for himself.
I don't think Fishbowl implies that way.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Can you have it though?
Meaning,
because it was made for you.
Yeah, but you didn't want it made for you.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
It's dependent on the maker and not the person who eats it. Okay, that's fair.
It's a cake baked with love.
Why do we need a cake? Anything can be made with love.
Ooh. What the bare basic says, that like it is based on the kavana of the one who's making it.
Which bare basic is that?
The bare basic on 154. Oh, sorry, no, on one.
I think the whole idea is that, I mean, it's against like. I think it's whatever your will is, because if your will is that you don't want it and someone else does it for you, then.
No, then you can't have it, but. What Barak's case was, let's say I'm a chef, and I specifically make it for Barak, and Barak doesn't want it.
Since he
even if you do want it.
I'm saying, let's say it's a case where they're making it for me behind the kitchen, and like, I want the food that they give me, but obviously I don't, let's say I go to a restaurant, and then they eventually tell me after they brought it out, oh, we decided to sprinkle a bit of this.
But it's still kosher. The food's not trafe.
No. Sprinkle a bit of non-kosher.
Right, but it's still less than 60. Meaning, at least from the food's perspective, it's kosher food.
I was actually wondering that. It's just usher? It seems that you are not allowed to eat
but
it,
the
but
case
the food
of
itself
it.
Might be
but
not
right.
Well, means the food is, because
everything
about human being is
it's a case of them making it for you.
Yeah.
And, it mean when you go to a restaurant, they're fully making food for you, but then again, meaning you wanted the food, but you don't want the trait thing in the food. So it's like, no, I don't want you to put that in there, I just want it to be fully
kosher. But again, the food's not trait at all. The food is
100%. But it's also, okay, but whatever, forget if it's like a separate isser or if it's from the food itself, it's also, he made it for you, the Shulchan Aruch says here, that if he makes it for you, it's, right?
If he makes it for you, it's usser for you.
Yeah. So you care about it.
Right. So it doesn't matter what your kavan is, it matters on what he's.
Well, that's interesting because, like, meaning you would think the shogeg is all. That case is fully a case of the shogeg, because he was sitting there at the restaurant, paid for food that he's expecting to come out without anyone sprinkling any. It's kosher. It's certified as being kosher. And he expected it to be no sprinkled anything in there. But that's what happened in the end. And
it's probably if you don't know
meaning that whole point.
So my question is, what does Kishu all mean? It's like for you.
Yes.
He did it for you, but you don't want him to.
In
so
the
Shogeg,
there's no Knas. He passes, there's no Knas on the Shogeg.
But that's what the first words mean. In the Bachin Esrut Lechatzchila. So what's the implication of if it's the Shogeg, if it's the Bedieved, then you can benefit from it. You can eat it. Right, but it seems like that portion of the latter portion of the of the.
Oh no, Ava Ubitlo, if he did the bitl or Shiva Alabo, he increased it to bitl in the Shogeg Mutu. Okay, good.
But don't we already know that from the first words of the Shulchan Aruch?
So you're not allowed to do it, but what happens if he happened already? Like, are you allowed to eat it or not?
Mm.
That's what we're talking about now. It already happened. If it happened b'shogeg mutter, then he's allowed to eat it. There's no knas for being badly swum b'shogeg. 90% of the cases in the kitchen are maybe 98%. 90% of the kitchen cases, people do things b'shogeg. Now they're asking, so if you have a case where there is enough there for bittul, he said it's mutter. I was done by a person, so it's okay because he did b'shogeg. So if he would have done it amazing, in other words, he knows it's us. He says, I'm going to do it anyway, then we're going to say, we can't eat it.
If it happens to Shogeg, you're allowed to eat it. That isn't, I don't, how are those not the first words? He says, you can't do it if it's the Chatzchila, but. The implication is if you
why do you care if he explains what he wrote? It's only an implication.
Yeah, I guess.
Yes.
So then, it's clear if a person did it, that demezed lachmo, that's clear that it's aser. The next line has some interesting implications.
Okay, good point. Okay, so aser mevatel atzmo. If he does it for himself and it's his food, there's no question he can't eat it. Now, this v'chein is a chiddush, because this is not mentioned. This is a Rajba, but it's not. It's a long Beis Yosef, but this might be the Rambam too.
Where's the
v'chein? At the end of Tzadik Tes Sifei, at the end of Sifei, it says v'chein, if he did it b'mezid, it's also the mevatel atzmo in Mishlo. V'chein mishan is batel b'shvilo. If he had in mind somebody else and he did it for him, that guy can't eat it.
So one person instructed another person to do it for him?
It doesn't say that. It says that the guy who did the bittel, I don't know. It doesn't know why did he have this other guy in mind. He was inviting him for supper. He said, I'm going to be mevatel some isurim to serve supper. So the guest for supper has the same knas as the guy who made and cooked it.
But he's unsuspecting, so how could he
be? It was done for him. A minute, he'll know. He tells him.
Does he have to tell him? I mean, he knows it's also for himself. He can't eat it. But then the question is
look at the Taz. Oh, yeah. See, your question's in the Taz. The Taz, Osud. V'chein v'mishnah is batel b'shvilo pirush mashal shom b'peru gid anoshe. Osud in the Taz. In the bottom of the Taz?
Yeah.
That means on the right side of Shulchan Aruch.
V'chein v'mishnah is batel b'shvilo?
Right. Pirush mashal. V'chein v'dafka sh'yeda zeh. It's only a case where the fellow, this other guy, that he did the bittul for him, knows about it, and he's happy. Even if he never asked him to do it. Not that he asked him to do it, he did it on his own, but when he finds out about it, he says, okay, I'll eat it, it's fine. Let's say he's unsuspecting. He was invited to this dinner. He has no idea that they did it with something trade with a bittul. If he doesn't know, show him that he's allowed to eat it. That way, who can show him? He's now a shogeg. You can't call him amazed if he's completely unaware.
So if he knew from litchatchila that it was made up amazed.
If he knows about it, but when he eats it, then he turns into amazed.
When he eats it, or that it was done litchatchila, from the whole start of the story, he was observing this fellow or the other fellow. So here's what I'm about to do.
I don't know. It's a good question. Seems.
Because his action shouldn't even necessarily be called for the second person. He's not suspecting, but if only if he
lo yadam imenu shaleh to shogeg. He's not aware of it. He's not aware of it. Then of course he can read it.
So it's like a
bidyamit
for
him. Lo yadam imenu shaleh to
shogeg.
But he wants to know, when did this other fellow find out? The Taz says that the other fellow knows about it. It's us. Only if he knows about it. When did he know about it? Before the bittul took place?
Or
before he ate it? That's your question.
Yeah.
Let me see.
I think it's if he ate it, because it says later on if he didn't know.
What's the difference between him and every other person on the planet? I'm saying.
You know, halakhically, there's a covenant. When he made the food for that guy, that has a status. So now once you know that it is that and it was made for you.
But then it's dependent on the food itself and not dependent on the... Meaning this guy...
It's based on
choice. I don't want it. I mean, no, but that's the thing. This guy says, I don't want this non-kosher food in there. And he did it, but made it himself. I didn't want him to do that. And now his isser is now falling upon me.
Yeah.
That seems weird.
I would think so.
I would think more so like Yoni.
Yeah, and I think that's what...
That it's if you know it before... Meaning... You only have to know before he puts it in, because after it's just it's a regular case of a shogeg that like, happened to fall in somehow.
There's a Kivega here again.
Yeah.
He seemed to say it's when he finds out before he eats it, that's also called knowing. This other fellow find out before eating it, that would put him in the category of being also to eat.
But not before he ate it?
In other words, he didn't know about it when the bittul took place, but he finds out before he eats it that it was done for him. It was done for him.
So what if a third person walks in? Then, like, now we tell him. Like, we keep saying we'll tell the next person, and the next person. So
anybody who finds out before he eats it, he claims, is called, he's involved in this,
why should
this pittle. Okay, looks, the Rav talked about this, you know, this thing about,
why should it matter?
The Rav said like this, why should
it matter that if it's for him? Like, it has nothing to do with it.
Only That would be stronger logic for that point.
But
what does Rav say?
The Rav says like this. He says, the Rav asks a very interesting question. It's a theoretical. He says, let's say, there's an issue to be mevatel isur lechatchila. Now I take this and mix it into food, make it batel. Okay. It's an issue to Rabbanu. Maybe the rest. Okay, let's say he wants to feed his dog tray food. But the dog's not eating tray food, the dog. He feeds his dog always tray food. He always feeds his dog regular meat, which doesn't have a shechita. It's only 10% of the price. So dog food is 10% of shechita. Doesn't give his dog shosh. Dogs are allowed to eat nevela. So he gives his dog nevela. So he says, you know what? I don't have enough nevela for my dog. I'm going to mix my nevela with kosher food. So he takes, I don't know, bread, whatever, and he makes a big mishmash of bread with some tray for frankfurters, whatever. He grinds it all up, he makes some kind of paste, he bakes it, and it's a nice dog biscuit for his dog. Meanwhile, if you look at it, it's 60-1, the tray food is butter and bread. Now he feeds it to the dog. He violated Nisr of the Mavatlis of Achatchila. The guy who did it, because he gave it to the dog.
If it wasn't with the intention to eat it, Or if it's just a...
It was for his dogs.
Right.
Or it was for some other thing. Mm. The answer is no, because bitto only... There is no bitto unless eventually somebody eats it. In other words, things become bitto in mixtures. They're only bitto for the purpose of someone eating them. But if no one in the end eats this mixture, there was never bitto. In other words, you give it to a dog to eat, there was never bitto. That's why it's mutter. You don't have a problem with mevatel lechatchila the dog food, because there is no bitter in the first place.
Because that's not what you're trying to do. It's not for human consumption.
But then you can eat it.
You can't eat it.
But it's not
you can eat it because then there will. So the Rav wants to say a big chiddush. He wants to say bitter, all this tarovas, everything with my bitter is sort of hanging in the air. If eventually someone eats it or doesn't eat it, it comes to a person, you have to decide, can I eat it, can I not eat it? So there is or isn't bitter. If it gets thrown to the bottom of the ocean, no one's going to eat it in the first place. If it gets thrown down the bottom of the ocean, goes to a dog, whoever. There's no bitter to talk about. Why the Torah making his bitter if no one's going to consume it? Okay. It's mixtures. Is it bitter for Gaia? The mixtures are foods. So for Jews, we talk about base elements of butter. Does that bitter apply when the Gaia eats it? So he claims not. So therefore he claims it. That's why it says the Mishnah is battle with Shilo, because this fellow is battle with Shilo, he's going to eat it or going to try to eat it. Why eat it? So because of him, there's a bitter. The guy, the other fellow mixed it, but he mixed it for the second. Reuven is the guy who mixed it, and Shimon's going to eat it. And Reuven did it for Shimon. Shimon wouldn't eat it, and they were thrown into the garbage. He wouldn't say Reuven did it not very well. Let's say Reuven mixes Issa with Hetta, and it's bottle with Shishim, and Reuven says, oh, I did that? He threw it into the garbage. He throws it into the garbage. No one ever eats it. So Reuven never violated any Aveira because it was never consumed. When we say bitter, it's only eventually it gets into someone's. Eventually there's someone who eats it. That's what he wants to say. So therefore, in any event, the Nezvat of the Shvilo, he plays a role in the bitter. The guy who consumes it or wants to consume it, at the end, he's playing a role. Since he's playing a role,
it was almost like incumbent on the first person that, like Reuven, because, meaning Shimon can't eat it. It doesn't really have much to do with Shimon, it's just that, meaning, kind of like, because if Reuven's making it for Shimon, then he'd therefore be aiding Shimon in the Isser.
Shimon, because Shimon, he's doing it for Shimon, he's doing it for a person, so therefore, so the rules of Bethel kick in. If he wouldn't be doing it for a person, he's a chemist, so in the lab they mix what we would call Issim and Heather, but they're not using this for food. They're going to be using it for making medicines or something. So you wouldn't say Eim Avatim Issim Chachila, because Bittel is only in situations where the idea is food preparation for consumption, and that consumption gives it the factors which then, you know, the laws of Tavovus and Bittel kick in. But if it's not for consumption, then it's not just a mixture, but it has nothing to do with the rules and regulations of Bittel, because it's just some chemicals have mixed in the lab. The fact that some are mutter, some are lusa, doesn't mean that we should kick in with halachas of Bittel and Tavovus. Bittel and Tavovus is only whoever's mixing it, let's say he's cooking in the kitchen, it's food which is being prepared for consumption as food, so then the Torah creates the system of bittel. But if it's not for any consumption, just some chemical mixture, then we wouldn't even apply rules of bittel. That's what the Rav wants to say. So that's why the battle b'shvilo gets involved in this possible knas, because the guy cooking it had in mind to feed this fellow. And the consumption factor is part of the bittul. It enables the bittul to get this. So therefore, you can connect it to that father. What Rabban says, he's actually quoting his father, because there's a similar din in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, the rule is like this: if a person does a malacha, the mezid, it's also for everybody to use the product. Okay? Let's say some Jew cooks the mezid on Shabbos, then no one can eat that food that Shabbos, no other Jew. Let's say someone does a malacha of cooking food on Shabbos, b'shogeg, then it's only also for him, but it's mutter for other people. B'shogeg, they made a knas for them, the guy who did the malacha. Now let's say on Shabbos, he's mavashel for somebody else. Would there be a nisa for the other person to consume it? Like over here, there is. So that's a whole big tumult. It's not black and white. It doesn't say in Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishan is bashel b'shvilo, at least not in Shulchan Aruch. So the Rav's father, the Merchant Salvation, wanted to say, you can't bring a raya from Taroves. Since in Taroves, the ultimate purpose of the Taroves is to get it for consumption. So if someone else is the consumer, b'shvilo, he's considered to be a factor or player in the bittul, and the knas could be, the knas of mezid could send it over to him, especially if he knows about it. He finds out about it, so that makes him a factor in the bittul. But in Shabbos, halachas, the shogun, let's say, is strictly a private affair that the guy did it. Okay, the guy is cooking. The fact that he has in mind somebody else doesn't necessarily connect the other person to his malacha. In bittul, the other person's eating it will connect to the bittul, because the bittul will help him, and the bittul will, and his eating it enables the bittul. Or that was the purpose of the cooking, was to get it to people to eat it. It wasn't being cooked for a dog. It wasn't being cooked for some chemical experiment. It was being cooked in order to get someone to eat it. So that person can be part of the takana, punish whoever did it or him, and that guy shouldn't eat it either. Shenken and Shabbos, not going to say that if Reuven cooks the shogeg, he had in mind for Shimon, okay, let's blame Shimon, and not let Shimon eat the food. Why would Shimon have to do with Reuven's malacha? Shenken and bittul, Reuven's mavavel something for Shimon, so that's really the whole thing is happening, is bittul in order for someone to eat it. So that's the bittul. So the bittul is for Shimon. So Reuven's kavana for Shimon gets Shimon involved in this situation.
What's
about the rabbi's elevation?
What's
all I wanted to say.
What is usher in what we're in the person eating it? The food is usher. Food is mutter.
Right.
It's kosher. So the only thing that's usher is the fact that you did something to maze it. But the guy who doesn't know, but you did it for him, how is that to maze it? He doesn't know anything about it.
When he's eating it, he knows.
Right, but that's why I thought
it's like a retroactive business, because while it's happening, he has no idea. He ideally would not want it to be his kavanah. It's against his kavanah. So why is that on the same category as b'mezid, that something is going against his kavanah while it's happening? Yes, I get retroactively before he eats it. He understands that it was done for him. But why are you saying that? How could we even say it's b'mezid?
Okay, look at the Per Hekel, or look at the Shach. Per Hekel goes here. It's called a Shach. Bishvilo. It's also for the fellow that he had in mind. why. So you want to know, Aaron, what did he do wrong? Why did he punish him? The Isharah submission is part of the Shvila. If you're going to let that fellow who he had in mind for Bittul eat it, I shouldn't have had a problem. There'll be something bad will come out. Why? Duma asla meimel abed kochavim. Ola eved shirat len. When the Rebbe was like this, that a Jew who wants to make something bittul will go to his neighbor or guy and tell the guy, take this thing and throw it into my path. So the guy is the one doing the bittul because he's throwing it into the path for the Jew. So to have this loophole of how to get out of the problem of bittul v'chatchila, the guy has no favor to throw things into people's paths and make them bottle. The guy don't have this whole problem. So the guy will throw it into the path for the Jew, and then we'll say, oh, someone else did it, so the recipient can eat it. He didn't do it. The amazing was a guy. So in order to stop a Jew from asking a guy, so they extended the yisr from the Jew himself, who is mevatel, but Jew Ruvain does it with Shimon in his head. He's not doing this for Shimon. It would be us on Shimon. This will prevent us from using goyim to go around. This is what he wants to say. This he's quoting actually the shah. Oh, it's your
out.
Yes.
That's specifically when you ask the non-Jew to do so, and the Chazim says,
if he knows about it, then he's happy.
I guess the whole idea according to the Tal is that Bishvilo implies that you want it. Meaning it's for you, implies that both you and him, like it's a interaction between the two of you guys.
But then the case comes about, let's say he does it for you and you didn't know, and that means you didn't want it, and then it's before you, and
so
he said,
the Taz would say that it's mutter, it's allowed.
No, but the Taz would respond to me if you don't know, no?
No,
if you don't know it.
Let's say you was mevatel, and Mishri is a lichnos. See, this guy's selling things. Okay, we're getting close to Tavachol and Maisa. So he's a food business. So he's putting this trade ingredient in with a bittul for people who are going to buy. Already promotion after the Shvila and the Yichud also the Kulam and the Halal eat it. He's done for that. Shuvah Sari Rosh. Rosh is a student of the Rambam. Mission is that it seems that mission is part of the Yodam is that the buyers don't know anything what's going on. And still it's also for them. The local Taz.
The Taz is like us, though.
The Taz is allowed.
Overload.
But yeah. Read the piece on first and disagree. Yeah.
Can we just read it differently? Like, we say, the Chen Lemishin and Batel Bishvil. So if this person goes to enlist another person to make a bittul for him,
you could read that into, let's read that, see that this is the task. Pirish Mashal, look this Mashal up. And the Dafka Shiyeda Zeh, Shin is Batel, Avur Avanicha. He knows about it before it's done. He knows about it before. I feel a lot of Sibo to Levatel. Avel Im Lo Yadam Im Menu before. So you're reading the Taz that the taz means that this other fellow knew about it before it happened.
It has to be, something has to be l'chila,
right? It has to be, somehow he has to know about it before it happens. Then I relate it to him.
I would even question the taz, because let's say it's a case of where he, meaning he knows that it's happening, but he still doesn't want it, but it just still
then
be
he said, then he said, it would also be good.
It's also
because nichele, because she yed the zeshen is not allowed to go. He knows it's being bought over. The nichele, he's happy with that.
Oh, he's
happy. Does that have nothing to mean? That's like, let's say he doesn't want it, but he knows.
If he doesn't want it, he doesn't say it's mutter.
Right. That's like a that's one of the qualifications of what makes it usr. The fact that it is nichele.
Right.
Do we postulate the tash in this case? Like, how do we know what a
Well, I tell you, this whole thing is with this sort of kireg and this taz, this is like the number one, maybe, of problems in the kashrus industry. Kashrus industry worldwide, which is, I don't know, multi-billion-dollar industry, the issue is traced, the issue is bittul. In other words, definitely. They say it's kosher, they're saying that there's no flavor and it's definitely 60 to 1. They're saying it is, it definitely, there's nothing there which is something not allowed to eat in terms of bittul. There was bittul. The problem is that many of these situations, can you be sure, or can you get it, that there's no trace of treif in the product? In other words, it's a very small.
I heard that Hebrew National, I heard there was a big scandal a couple of years ago, that Hebrew National had traces of milk in it.
Okay, so it's a worldwide issue.
Based on this. So yeah.
Many, many, many situations like that. So
it says that they can sell that, right? So.
I've had a posting. I still don't have anything about Hebrew National, so I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that it's a worldwide issue. Of course, today food is produced around the world, so they produce food in Vietnam and in Africa, all over the place, and the kashrus organizations are going out there giving a stamp that is kosher. So, so the issue is, in every particular item, is there some trace of not kosher in it. So it could be that the trace coming from the machines, if they, maybe these machines, basically they're going to clean the machine, but you know, is the machine 100% clean, or there may be some little scraps of not kosher food here and there, which inside the machine, which is sticking to something, because it's...
That's not bottle?
Right, but at the end of the day, it's kosher for us, though, right?
It will be bottle. The problem is that the manufacturer wants to sell it to you. So the mission is bottle b'shvila.
Oh, that's the repeat A.
Isn't that b'shoge?
So if you don't listen, like a repeat
meaning if it's like...
So shoge is not a heter, because shoge is us, so the mission is bottle b'shvila.
Oh really? I thought it was just saying the
shogeg is always mutter, right?
Yeah,
it's mazer, but this is mazer because they know when they're manufacturing it that there's some traces of not kosher left.
Let's say they try and clear out their things as much as possible.
Okay.
And it's like beyond their control at that point.
Okay, so that's a shogeg.
That's a shogeg.
Okay. But isn't it always? I mean, they're not saying that we want this
shogeg. You're saying is when they can't. Avoid it, right?
They wash it,
but they know that they're saying shogeg, they couldn't completely clean it, and whatever's left is a little bit left. So that's their onus. It's basically onus. It's shogeg in terms of. So there is shogeg in terms of. So that's a shogeg, and onus because they had no choice. If they were going to use that machine. So, I mean, no one's forcing them to use that machine.
Did they wash it?
Go get a Jewish company which has only clean and kosher machines. you're saying I'm going to Vietnam because it's going to be half the price. Is that enough to switch Mesa to a shogun? Maybe. I mean, that's what you're claiming. I don't know. Does that make it honest that it's beyond control? Because they're there. Then, of course, this is a question of a guy. The machines belong to the guy in the family. It would be a bigger problem if it would be a Jew. So now, if a guy does it for a Jew, probably mutter, I guess. Not enough. Is there an issue to tell a guy to be mabatel? And this, for me, that's what the Shas said you want to avoid. We don't want the Jew telling a guy, your neighbor, create bittel. So it seems from the Shach, you're not allowed to tell a guy. So tell, so the fact that it's a goyish machine wouldn't seem to help us. But Aaron's argument is you have no choice, because if you want to get this product at this price, this quality, whatever, you have to use those machines. So that would make it beyond your control. We make you a show gate. You don't want to be mabatel, you just have no choice. You know, you're not putting it in there like chachila. You're putting it in there for some other reasons it's there. It's not there because I want to eat that particular trace. Not helping me with the food. I mean, it's in there because financially this is the option financially. So that would be a shogeg. That would be a shogeg, and that would be mutter. On the show.
Well, isn't the Shach's main problem that you specifically that you ask the non-Jew? But if you don't ask the non-Jew, is there a problem?
Probably, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, like,
you say the Mishan is Batel B'Shvila.
Right.
The Mishan is Batel B'Shvila means that the Jew, you know, one Jew's up there with chances to the other Jew, or it just means that Mishan's Baha B'Shvila is taking advantage of Bittul and as opposed to.
Right.
I don't know. If a guy does it on his own. The Rak Shas is about telling the guy. It's not what the guy does on his own, it's okay. Yes, anybody else? Any other comments? Yeah.
So can we just say if a person enlists another person,
That would be the simplest way to read it without getting into a complex discussion.
And then the second person who didn't know of it l'chachila, then there shouldn't necessarily be an issue because the second person didn't enlist the first person, and the first person didn't enlist the second person for the first person.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that differentiates, we have to have differentiation between them and the population, and that has to be l'chachila, no knowledge from l'chachila. Otherwise, there's no difference between the second person and the rest of the population.
Saying that the second person enlisted the first time. That's only common sense. That's okay. I mean, you say like that, then,
yeah. Because
then you're of course making life much easier for everybody.
Because there has to be a point where the second person is different from the rest of the population, or he's going to be considered like the rest of the population.
That's the very thing.
Because
if
I'm
making it as everybody in the tent, going to sell it to the public.
Right.
He claimed that the public is us and put us the Shula. But I guess what you're saying.
No.
He made this quoting Avi Rush, who favorites into the whole world. The whole world did not list the matter of fact.
Well, yeah, we're not in the business of causing people to sin.
Things with the action, because you never know
right.
If there's some, not some,
and
you're cooler. You're saying it's a show gate because there's really no choice. That's maybe correct, but it's not the normal, not your everyday show gate. You know, it's a show gate means because of a financial reason. I mean, it's what people call an alacha dabu shein and miskabin. He doesn't want to do the issa. So, Dovashain and Muscatin could be called a show gig. Could be. Yes.
If a non-Jew is doing it, but we don't tell them to do it, but they do it amazing, 1 in 100, wouldn't that still be mutter? You know, we said before.
But the thing is like this, if let's say it's a kosher product, being produced on non-kosher machines.
They washed it?
And they cleaned the machines, but no one's going to take a shavua that the machine is 100%.
But
I mean,
I'm saying,
so you're going to say, okay, it's 99%.
Wouldn't
it's a 60-to-1 ratio. So fine, but why is it being done? So yes, if you're right in a sense, if the product is being produced for the world, non-Jews as well as Jews, everybody eats this product. Let's say Coca-Cola. Let's say Coca-Cola has some kind of trace ingredient in there. But it's being done by non-Jews for non-Jews. The Jewish clients, of course, has a minority group, so you can use that rules. You can say that when I want to know, is it Bishvila? So if there's billions of people who are consuming this, billions, so look at the majority. The majority decides, if it's the majority of Goyim, so it's being done for Goyim. The majority of Jewish, it's done for Jews.
But I'm saying, even suppose, not even like a machine that, I'm saying, let's say they put a tiny bit of pig meat in, or pig oil, or pig fat, whatever, in the thing, the mazer. Would that, I mean, still, we just said that a non-Jew, he has no issur about putting it in there.
But the question is the mission is battle, Bishvila. This halacha of mission is battle, Bishvila, this what creates the chaos or the havoc.
Right.
Or the problem.
So if we pass him,
let's say this non-Jew says, I'm producing this product to sell it in Borough Park.
Right.
That's the issue.
But what I'm saying is, it seems that even if the non-Jew puts a trace element, sells it to the majority of the world, let's not say Borough Park, the majority of the world non-Jews, right?
And no problem. Should be no problem.
But it even seems that we don't, why would we, if we can, it would seem that we can store the, based on the ingredients. There's no hashir.
The ingredients, I'm not going to tell you about these kinds of trace elements.
But these trace elements are volatile.
I understand, but what about the Mishnah's battle of the Shvila?
But
if it's amazing, then the guy producing it knows that this is what he's doing.
Well, but I'm saying this is what the whole month look is on. If you pass him the Mako opinion,
oh, Mako, you can be made.
Then just based on the ingredients, you wouldn't have to do the hashir. It would seem.
If you want to be makel, there's a make. You can say that, there's lots of ways of being makel here. You can say, this whole thing is in the Siddur Rabbanan. The worst possible case, right? Eating it is only in the Siddur Rabbanan. The Mishnah is battle to Shvilo, means, the Shita says means someone who's Michale, that he wants this. The consumer wants these trace elements, which are dirt from some machine. It's not in their interest. It doesn't do anything for them. So therefore, it's mutter because it's not nichalei. They're indifferent, basically. Maybe in fact they resent it. They don't want to have leftover dirt in the product. So it's a lo nichalei.
So
the Taz brings in this nichalei idea to get the other person involved only because of nichalei, because he's happy with this. So you can say that the average consumer is not involved, he's indifferent, he resents it, the fact that it's not perfectly pure. So it would be mutter, because it's like nichalei. Or you can also say that the manufacturer is like Goyim. Only if it's a special run for Borough Park, then it's an issue. But if it's for the world, it's not an issue, because Borough Park is a minority of the world, so it's being done for the majority.
It seems that the majority of the world.
That's the general rule in halacha, when you want to know, going to do things, are they doing it for Jews or not? Let's say on Shabbos, Yom Tov. So it's Mishnayos that it depends who is the majority of the customers or consumers. If the guy is doing it for Jews, if the majority of the city is Jewish, if a guy does work, he turns on electricity for the city. So he's doing it for the majority. If it's Jewish, then we say it's being done, the work is being done for Jews. If it's Goyim, you say the majority is Goyim, it's being done for Goyim. So majority is a rule that you can apply in many of these cases. Basically, the cashless organizations obviously are given hechsher in these cases. So either they're saying that the product is for the world, or they're saying the product is being produced by Goyim, we don't have a list in the first place. This whole thing of Mishpat and Shu is only an extension of the first person. The first person is Yagayu, there's no time of bringing Lata Bishiva. It's another heter. Third heter is that the Lomichalei, these Jews who are using it, they're indifferent to the whole thing, it's not relevant to them. Finally, the best heter is Lo Yada. The average Jew who buys a product has no clue that there's some trace ingredient. When he eats it, he has no clue. And Lo Yada, that the Taz says, is also mutter. The consumer doesn't know. Usually the Baba Mishu has no clue. He comes into the house, he's eating. He has no clue that there was a pitbull. You don't have to tell him. We have Shabbos guests, and there was some showgate situation. And, you don't have to tell them that there was a problem because it's mutter. So there are many, many hetayim. So basically, across the board, the conscious organizations are letting it happen because you don't have a choice. Otherwise, you can't. Can't be a worldwide cashless organization. Yes.
I feel like when we say benichale, it's like very specific because it would only ever be nichale if it was, we're talking about an individual case where it's a small localized situation because it will never be nichale for we can never say nichale for the rest of the population. Right, and unless we're talking about a more lahavis, then okay, and then it's not nichalei to the majority. So it seems like it's
look, a. The evidence is so for sure, when you're eating and it says, oh, you, okay, you don't have to worry about it. We have really four different bases for making a mutter. And in the worst case, in Issa d'Rabbanan, we have four different ways of making a mutter. Unless you want to be super machmir, so you can be machmir, now you change some have a hapshon. Eat things, buy things more, cook in your own kitchen. Okay, let's go.
Just one question. I just don't know if I should have it on the recording.